Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Don't miss your chance to win $25,000 tonight playing Fox Bet Super 6. Players have won over $5.5 million in cash prizes, and there are winners every week. Scan the QR code now and pick the outcomes of six NBA games for your shot to win. It's free to play.
By the way, these Oklahoma fans are crazy. Do you realize that Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, and Jalen Hurts were all transfers? You're going to have some kids transfer out of your program. Not 15, not 20, maybe 4. But the reality is, you can't simultaneously for the last 5 years tell all your fans how great Lincoln Riley is. And you defend Lincoln Riley on your Reddit boards and your message boards. He's the best coach, best coach, best coach. And then he leaves and you don't think anybody's going to follow him. Your program was built on transfers. And you're going to lose 7 or 8 kids, probably 4 high school recruits will flip from Oklahoma, USC, 4, and maybe 2 to 3 players, maybe 4. You'll lose 8 guys total. Not 15, not 20. Oklahoma will be fine. But you can't tell me our coach is the best and not think 1% of your roster wouldn't go, especially offensive guys, hey, I'm going to go because he's going to be better than who we're going to hire. And by the way, Brett Venables is going to be the guy Oklahoma hires, a defensive guy. He's not Lincoln Riley offensively. If I'm a wide receiver, quarterback, I want to go with Lincoln Riley, not Brett Venables. And by the way, and Brett Venables gets your job and in 7 years leaves, then about 8 different defensive players, high schoolers or current Sooners, are going to follow him wherever he goes because that's the reality of the business. You can't marry the beautiful woman and be shocked occasionally guys flirt with her. You can't have the world's best offensive coach and defend him at every corner and then be shocked that like some receivers and quarterbacks and running backs and linemen go, I'd rather go with him than the new defensive-minded coach that's coming in. That's the reality of it.
By the way, the checks that these coaches are getting, that should be a clue as to what and why those players are going there in the first place. Like,
if I was a quarterback,
going there for the coaches.
If I'm a quarterback, like yesterday they got an Oklahoma commit to flip to USC. If you're a quarterback, wide receiver, running back.
Yeah, Malachi Nelson. We talked about him the day before. Remember,
yeah.
We were like,
he just decommitted.
He's probably going to USC.
Lincoln Riley is a better coach, and you'll be a better player than Brett Venables would make you as an offensive player. As if you're a defensive player, maybe you think Brett Venables, if he gets the job, he would be better for me. Coaches, kids are going to follow. Not a huge percent. I don't think Notre Dame kids flock to LSU, but there's going to be a quarterback or two. I mean, if I'm a great quarterback, Brett Venables, Lincoln Riley. It ain't close. It's not close.
I don't really tend to listen to either side of these breakup situations, whether it's a coach leaving or a star player leaving. Like, I don't listen to the people that got broken up with, and I don't really care, unless it's the Miami Heat, about the people who are bragging. Because, like USC is, like, pounding his chest right now. As you should.
And they're not ready to compete for a title with Lincoln Riley.
So just like, it's fine. Like, happy, ride it out, not judging at all, but I'm also not listening to anything that like,
listen, as great as Pete Carroll was, they were 6-6 and lost a bowl game to Utah his first year. That's what they were, because it was a mess. And right now, USC offensive line, you can't compete with your top 5 program. You can't compete with Michigan today with that O-line, or Clemson, or Ohio State, or Bama, or LSU,
when
or Georgia.
When LeBron James left Cleveland, they had urinal cakes with his face on them. What happened when LeBron said he was going back to Cleveland?
Please come back.
Coming home. It's all emotion, okay? You just take it as you will.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
All right, well, the Cowboys are on track to get their 2-star wideouts back tomorrow night against the Saints, and they need them.
Well, Dak is way better with Amari than without him.
CeeDee Lamb missed Thanksgiving with a concussion, so he's cleared protocol and had his second straight full practice yesterday.
That's good news.
Ed Werder reported this morning that Amari Cooper is expected back after missing 2 games following a positive COVID test. He is still dealing with some issues related to his reaction to the virus. So he is back. Is he going to be 100% is the question. And Zeke, who is definitely not 100%, participated in practice fully. He's dealing with a knee injury. There has been some talk about whether he will play or not. Jerry Jones indicated that he will have his normal role this week, so maybe he will. But he's talked about his injury, and he's clearly trying to play through it. And they really struggled to run the ball on Thanksgiving. Cedric Wilson remained out of practice. So the Saints, everyone's banged up at this point. Like, we know that. Every team is dealing with injuries. But are you able to overcome those injuries? And it seems like the Cowboys are not one of those teams. But we knew that. They're a top-heavy team. They need their stars out there. Yeah. And so they are getting their wide receivers.
And their stars are good. Their stars are really good players.
Yes. So they're 7-4 and first in the NFC East. It's pretty much a season-deciding game for the Saints. So a pretty big game tomorrow night, 7:30 Eastern on Fox. And the Cowboys are currently 4.5-point favorites, according to Fox Bet. So we talked about this earlier. My Pittsburgh Steelers have gone winless in the last three games.
And that schedule is brutal.
Yeah. Mike Tomlin, he knows they're reaching the point of no return. And when he was asked about facing the Ravens on Sunday, Tomlin said there needs to be a change.
What you can't do is continue to do the things that you've been doing and expect a different result. It's put up and shut up time. And so, you know, talk and get it done. I can quell you and that question with an answer, but it's not real. What we do in that stadium on Sunday is what's real. And so we're not seeking comfort. We're not trying to, you know, quell the masses, if you will. You know, we stunk it up, and so we're going to wallow in our stench for a while and wait for our next opportunity to play football.
He's got to write a book, right?
He is going to be so good as a broadcaster. But the guy's like 45 years old. He's a kid.
Yeah, I mean, I'm talking about like
30. I mean, it feels like
somehow.
He's like 60 because all coaches now are old and he's been around forever.
But he was the original young coach.
Yeah, like you'll see these tennis stars and you're like, oh, they've been around for 20 years. And it's like, Andre Agassi's how old? You forget because
yeah,
we knew him at 15.
14 years old, right. Yeah. Well, we also talked about Chase Claypool recently said that they should have music to have more fun at practice. And Coach Mike Tomlin was asked about Claypool's suggestion, and I'm not going to say it as eloquently as he did, but he said Claypool plays wide out, and I'll let him do that. I'll formulate the practice approach. I think that division of labor is appropriate. I would agree. I mean, look, players want to work out how they work out, and that's fine. But when you're losing games, it doesn't matter about any of that. It's not about music. It's not about how you drive into the stadium. It's about what you need to adjust on the field, as Mike Tomlin said. But unfortunately, the Steelers they went on a little run there. They had to just convince that they could maybe get it together.
They haven't been irrelevant in 25 years. Like, there's going to be a dip here unless
Mike Tomlin's never had a losing season.
Ever.
And they are looking at the edge of the cliff with this Ben Roethlisberger situation.
No question.
And they have no one to blame but themselves because this is what you walked into. You had actually a very interesting opportunity, kind of the Saints similarly, where your quarterback is reaching the end of his career and they got hurt, which you don't want, but you had an opportunity to see what you had in-house. Ben Roethlisberger was hurt. You saw what you had in-house. It wasn't going to get it done. And what do they do? Oh, we'll run it back with Ben Roethlisberger. It's fine. We'll just figure it out when it happens. Like, that's not what you do. You had
proactive.
An opportunity. Yes, you need to be proactive. So they play the Ravens on Sunday. 4.5-point underdogs, according to Fox Bet. So, last night, fun basketball night.
Oh, it was great.
Around
great
the league.
Night.
The Nets were able to hold off the Knicks 112-110 win. The entire fourth quarter was very chippy, back and forth. It was tied at 110 with 7 seconds remaining. And Kevin Durant found James Johnson in the lane. Johnson threw a foul, made both free throws with 2.2 seconds left on the clock. Evan Fournier attempted a three-point inside the half court, didn't convert, and the Nets improved to 15-6 and are first in the Eastern Conference. James Harden was really the story last night. 34 points, 10 rebounds, and 8 assists. KD added 27. And Julius Randle and Alec Burks led the way for the Knicks. But this was a fun game, obviously, battle for New York. And a lot of emotion. But, you know, as we were discussing earlier, they're going to figure it out. Like, James Harden's figured it out now. KD, they're at the top of the East. And when everyone was freaking out about Kyrie not being there and what that was going to mean,
I think they're better.
Figure it out.
No. And I think having this dominant, I call him a big, but he's a perimeter big. I think Durant and Harden are good enough to win the championship. I don't think, just because of the construct of Phoenix, I think Phoenix is better than Brooklyn. But Brooklyn's good enough, I think. They've got a better bench this year.
And they were right there last year.
They're good enough. You got to stay healthy. Yes. I think they could beat Milwaukee. I don't know if they will, but they could. And I never felt that last year. You were here. I never felt that with Harden, Kyrie, and KD. I just never felt it. The bench was bad.
Well, it was their first year together. It was clunky. They were dealing with injuries all year. This year, again, when you have people in the building together, they had to overcome the Kyrie not being there and figure it out. And they have, and they're playing well.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Herd brought to you by Jersey Mike Subs. Be a sub above. Let's bring in our buddy Fox Sports NFL analyst Mark Sanchez. A decade in the NFL. First rookie quarterback in NFL history to start and win his first three games of a season. First two playoff games. Well, let's just start with the USC thing. Let's get that right out of the way.
Joy's favorite topic.
Your first moment of hearing Lincoln Riley, an offensive coach, USC, just when you heard it, what did you think?
Well, I was obviously a little shocked,
yeah,
but pleasantly shocked and surprised. I thought, you know, we talked about this over a month ago, that they were going to lead this exhaustive search and swing for the fences and see if any of these coaches at an established program like Lincoln Riley would say, yeah, tell me a little more. And it sounds like that's what happened right after this last game. And I mean, what a turnaround for these coaches. Isn't that insane how, like,
well, you know, Mark, because
you're in a team meeting, you lose and boom, and well, hey, see you later.
The early signing period, which the NCAA, I don't like it. Yeah. I think it's bad for quality of life. These coaches now, Brian Kelly and Lincoln Riley, you've got to go.
Right. There's no time to, like, hey, let's have a banquet. Let's, you know, watch our old highlight tapes. Man, we had some great times together. You got to
build a staff in 48 hours, and you have to be – USC coaches today are in the homes of high school coaches.
Already,
In 8 days, they got to flip them.
And I talked to Alex Grinch, the D coordinator.
The D coordinator.
That's a huge get, too. I didn't know he was coming with him, but I asked him at the press conference. I was like, dude, how did this even – he's like, bro, he sends me a text, like, right after the game, and, like, here we are, and he's like – you know, it just wasn't really normal. He doesn't really text like that, not after a loss, like, hey, I need to see you, come over. And it was like, whoa, okay, let's do it.
Yeah.
You know, and you have a split second to make a decision and kind of looking at your wife and kids like, you good or are we doing this?
Yeah.
And it's on, so I'm fired up.
It's interesting. You are a prized recruit, Mission Viejo, right off the freeway, by the way.
Yes,
if you're driving down to Orange County, you can see it off to the left.
Friday night, baby. Every time
I drive by it, I think of you every single time.
Yes.
What are they called, by the way?
The Diablos, baby.
I'm sorry.
Come on.
I'm sorry. It's Orange County. Well, that's terrible. That's big USC territory. But when you were part of the Pete's in town, Pete Carroll came, and you were a star player. And the first year, Pete didn't knock it out of the park. Take me back to when you were in high school and they got a big coach and there was a lot of talk. Was it easy to flip?
Well, specifically for me, it was Carson just won the Heisman. Leinart's in contention to win the Heisman. They just had another quarterback drafted who barely played and played special teams in tight end and Matt Cassel. I mean, this is a quarterback factory. What do you want?
Yeah.
Where else are you going to go that's going to give you – they're running an NFL offense.
Baker Mayfield,
Norm Chow and
Jalen
Sarkisian.
Hurts.
Yes, so – For quarterbacks, where else do you go? The fact that we lost Bryce Young and DJ Uiagalelei to two places in the country that they might not even have been able to pick out that town on a map, like a blank map, show me where that is. Like, now these kids are going to stay here. The Modern Days, the Los Al, like this Los Al kid, I think, just flipped the other day. If not yesterday, Malachi?
Yeah.
I mean, he's like, those kids in Orange County shouldn't go anywhere. If you're in San Diego, if you're in LA, if you're even NorCal, like, that's the destination now. And that's the way it was with me. Everybody, Barkley, I mean, everybody wanted to go there.
Yeah.
And that interlock is relevant again. Now it's, you know, it's going to be time to produce here once you acquire all your talent.
Yeah.
But I think it makes sense. I think he might have realized that he's going to reach a ceiling there at the place he was, just like Brian Kelly.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if I want to go compete in the SEC from Norman, Oklahoma, and us in Texas are going to go in there now. Like, I don't know if that's really where it is. That's going to be a tough road to make it. And if you do make it, you're pretty banged up. Now, let's go rip through the Pac-12 like Coach Carroll did and
become
give us a
legend.
A shot. Yeah, and give us a shot.
So last week you did Falcons, Jags. Mm-hmm. So we've been talking about rookie quarterbacks.
Yes.
All right. So you watched Trevor Lawrence.
Oh, yeah.
Give me your takeaway on what, yeah. what and by the way, as you do it, think about your rookie year. Like, that, what do you think?
I'll give you the most important thing is that he hasn't had to win games at the end. He was put in a two-minute situation last week, 2:30 left, a timeout or two, one timeout maybe, and a seven-point lead for the other squad. You got a seven-point hole to dig yourself out of. Let's go, orchestrate a touchdown drive. He's never done it. Never had to. I never had to. I lost a comeback game in high school. I lost two comeback games at SC in fourth quarter. I lost three my rookie year, and finally won three my second year in the NFL. That was the first time I had a fourth quarter comeback in my life.
Because you were a dominant high school and college kid.
Right, we were at dominant programs. I was a highly recruited, high-profile player, played well at SC. Like, you're up in the third quarter. You know, you're out at the end of the third quarter, and you unlace your shoes and undo your shoulder pads and kind of relax and eat some sunflower seeds. I said it on the broadcast. I was like, because Kevin Kugler goes, hey, this is a big opportunity for Trevor, and, you know, he's done this before. And I was like, I don't think he's done this before. I'm trying to remember when he brought Clemson back. One, when he had to, so yeah. You just don't get the opportunities.
Right.
And two, when it's actually happened. It's just never happened. So I think that's a huge part of his development, is learning how to do it. And once you do it, you learn the characteristics of a fourth quarter drive, of a two-minute drive, and it's much different before halftime and at the end of the game. And you understand, I need a positive play on first down. I need some sort of explosive play, right? And we can't have any penalties and obviously no turnovers, because then the drive's over. But penalties, poor first play out of the gate, those are drive killers in 2 minutes. That's the formula. Like, you need those things. And once you know, okay, this is what I need, now I go do it. It happens. Whoa. It's like riding a bike. Let's hit the formula again, boys. Let's hit the formula again. That's all we need to do. And you realize it's not this big, bad, scary thing anymore.
Right.
You just go do it.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Obviously, it's not a guarantee once you learn how, but at least you know what it looks like.
Yeah.
And you felt it and you've done it. So that's where he's at. But the drive to get him within seven, or, you know, to get him a touchdown down, I saw everything I needed to see. Play action, throw on the run. Just an absolute dime into tight coverage in cover two. Like, if you're going to run four verticals and the defense is playing like Tampa two, like, they called the right defense, you're going to check it down. And he threw just an absolute strike through like four hands, two face masks. I mean, this thing, that window closed fast. And this ball was just on the money. He's got everything you want. Now he's just got to do it a couple times. And he's doing it without a ton of talent and without any of their talent consistently in the game with him. So he's got to get used to it.
Okay, now a veteran quarterback. Rams are a little lost offensively. Can they get back on track?
I think they got to this week. I think they can't overlook Jacksonville, right? Because Jacksonville looked okay last week.
Yeah, they had, like, a little pass rush too.
Yeah, so I'm calling that game this weekend. So I'm excited to see what's going on. But the month of November for the Rams has been tough, right? 0-3. That's not what you want.
Well, they lost Robert Woods.
So that's part of it. Now they're trying to get Odell, you know, in the system and comfortable and all that. And you can see some of those miscommunications on the field.
You can see him.
Oh, you can totally see him. And Odell, you know, Matt Stafford thinking Odell's going to slam on the brakes on a shallow crossing route and Odell running through a window. Like, that's just reps. That's time on task. That's rapport with your teammates. I'm going to go see him at practice on Friday. So, I mean, those are the things that you look for. How much communication do they have? And, you know, Matt's been a little banged up, but this is like where he comes alive. Like, this is where, why he's here. He's going to help dig him out of this hole. I have no doubt about that. And, you know, they need a little more time up front for him. And they got to be able to run the ball a little more effectively, right? Because that's going to take a lot of pressure off of him. And it's not like they got blown off the map, but the game kind of got, you know, a little out of hand. And Green Bay was in the driver's seat the whole time, it felt like.
Yeah.
So, and the Rams consistently playing catch up. That's not easy to play like that. It's hard to run the ball like that.
Yeah. More with Mark in a second.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex.
Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Beyer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Faherty, founded by twin brothers, family biz, best looking clothes. Go to FahertyBrand.com/herd. 20% off, code HERD20. All right, Mark Sanchez, 10 years in the NFL, former USC Trojan. All right, let's two big takes here. I want to hear your thoughts. Aaron Rodgers calling out, he didn't name anybody specifically, but Green Bay coaches for leaking stuff to the media about his toe. Your thoughts?
I mean, that happens all over the league. I mean, people have their, you know, coaches know, reporters who know, somebody, whatever, fine. That stuff happens. There's leakage like that. He just used the same mechanism that they used to call him out. He did what they did, right? Like a total power move. Like, okay, it's, you know, like a couple in a relationship. Like, you're going to do the ice out. You're not going to talk to me now. You're going to do the emotional, like, pull away. Okay, fine. Let's do it. Let's see who lasts longer. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so total power move. What's his other recourse, right? Call a meeting with all the coaches and say, hey, at 10 a.m., I want you all in the staff room and I want to talk to everybody and let you know that this is not going to be cool. Don't do this anymore.
But that would be that's confrontational. That's not Aaron.
Yeah, and this is more passive aggressive, right?
That's what, like, he is.
But I think this is just the small issue of the day, right? I think bigger picture, like zoom out just for a second, what he's doing on Pat McAfee's show, you have to reference the show. He has this platform. It used to be coaches and quarterbacks have the radio show for 50 grand a year, and you come on to, you know, Extra Sports or whatever, and we talk, blah, blah, blah. And you get your 10-minute interview, and you collect your 50 grand, and you don't say anything because it's just boring, and you don't want to give anything away. Now, this is going to be – we're going to look back in a couple years, and he's going to be the pioneer. This is a disruptive model, what he's doing. Because now he'll never talk to any of these big networks again. And if he does, he'll give them the Marshawn Lynch treatment. I'm here so I don't get fined. They can answer the question any way they want, right?
Yeah.
And now he's just going to have his own thing. And if you're big enough, like Aaron Rodgers, like probably the most popular guy on every team could probably do that. This is going to be like the wave of the future. And he's just one of the first ones to do it. It's just, it's interesting to me that he's found a way to disrupt, you know, media that way.
And sort of get his word out.
Yes, because now your interview with a big network, just, yes, cliches. Hey, we got to be our best today and go out and give it our all on Sunday. And then in your own thing, on your own platform where you're getting sponsorship money for, hey, man, you know, we got to attack their cover too. And that's going to be a big part of this game plan. We got to run the ball well, especially, hey, remember last week I could show you this clip and da-da-da. That's where you're going to give all the cool stuff. Everything else is just going to be plain vanilla, nothing fun. Check the box, move on.
Good stuff.
It's crazy.
All right, you told me, I saw you this past week. You said, Cowherd, I got a fire take.
I got to stand up. Can I stand up for this?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's big.
It's a fire take. I have no idea what this is.
Okay, we're going Pats, Bucks, Super Bowl. In L.A., both teams come from the East Coast. Belichick, Brady, Mac Jones, Brady.
Who else has said that? Has anybody else said that yet?
Has anybody, is it Mike, say it again.
Has anybody else said that yet? Checking, testing.
No.
Hello?
So you have Mac Jones.
Joy?
Okay, so let's first talk.
Hot fire.
All right.
It's, you're learning this media thing.
Okay, how about this? How about this?
You feel strong about it?
You don't like it?
I'm
a Hollywood ending right here.
I think
so
it's wonderful. Fire. Nothing would surprise me.
Well, we said there's 8 boxes basically you have to check to get to a Super Bowl. And New England checks 7, you know, great coach, good situationally, defense, special teams, a top coordinator, 6 or 7 players in their prime playing well, you don't control the line of scrimmage in tempo, not a big penalty turnover team. The box they don't check, and I worry about, because Tampa, we all know, could get there. I worry about this. Nothing comes over the top offensively.
I know.
No freebies.
And that's why it matters just a little. So awesome. The young Padawan apprentice.
Do you think?
Versus the Jedi. I mean, come on.
Do you believe
they could do? I mean, I'm telling you, they could do it. Buffalo's looked a little shaky.
Well, but Buffalo's,
the Chiefs.
Buffalo can't run the ball. The Chiefs don't run the ball.
And the Patriots do your classic war of attrition. Like, let these other teams screw up. We keep doing what we can do, not trying to do too much. Don't make plays that we're not trying, that we're not capable of. Don't be anything more than you need to be, Mac Jones. And generally, just going with the numbers, we'll be okay. We'll be just fine.
Yeah.
And we'll, you know, inch our way along, and every once in a while people will notice. But the 2 weeks leading up to that would just be awesome.
It would be amazing.
I mean, unbelievable.
All right, finally.
That's, you know, all I got, though. That's I have nothing left. So
I liked it. Well, Pete Carroll, you know him well. This relationship, you have an older coach, a defensive coach, and an offensive league. Five divisions now are led by an offensive coach. The coach of the year could very well be Zach Taylor of the Bengals. He's an offensive coach. The surging team is the Niners, Kyle Shanahan, offensive coach. You have a 70-year-old defensive coach and Russell Wilson. What's going to happen?
I mean, this is a big one against San Fran this week for their division. And these teams can kind of go, you know, one's going to go one way, one's going to go the other. I think Russ being a little banged up for the first time really in his career this year has rocked some stuff. He was public in the offseason about, you know, some of the issues he had, and part of that was the offensive line play. We're seeing that. We're seeing, you know, he was the leading rusher with 16 yards or something. So
they can't run the ball.
Yeah, so, you know, that just makes it tough. And then, you know, that outside noise from the season or from leading into this season is just going to get louder after this year, especially if things don't go their way against San Francisco, who's kind of trending in the right direction.
Yeah.
That's not good.
No, and it's...
And it's too bad because they had, like, this awesome run. I mean, who knows? Maybe this is their one down year and they regroup after the season and acquire the right players and everything's fine. But I just... I don't know. They might just turn the page on that one.
Yeah, I could see them. You know, they've got a weird power dynamic in the front office. Pete has a lot of say. And the last four drafts, they've hit on two people. Punter and DK Metcalf. They have whiffed badly.
And you can argue on DK.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, he's more of like the combine kind of guy. But like now that there's been some study on him in the league, it's like I think he's a physical freak, a phenom. But you know, it's
not a great route
go balls,
runner.
Post routes, in routes, maybe a comeback if you're going to play off top over the top on him. So
there's,
you know,
a book on him.
It might be, you know, a limited route tree kind of thing.
Yeah. All right, Mark Sanchez. If you ever wanted to make your home feel safer, go to simplysafecolin.com. 50% off. All right, tomorrow, Cowboys Saints, right? All right, CeeDee Lamb, concussion protocol, back in, two practices in a row, Joy said. He'll play.
Amari Cooper.
Amari Cooper back.
By the way, serious thing, Amari Cooper's a world-class athlete, COVID, and he struggled with it. By the way, just if you're 60 years old and you're still like, I don't believe in it, Amari Cooper, Cam Newton, Lamar Jackson, professional athletes – it set him back for weeks at a time. Please, please be safe. And Amari has been now activated off the COVID list. Cross your fingers there if you're a Cowboy fan. All right. We will Cowboy Saints tomorrow. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Speak for yourself around the corner for Mark Sanchez and Nick Wright and Bruce Feldman. It's The Herd.